Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game on a very news-filled Friday. We'll swing into all the big headlines. The Braves with Keuchel, the Hawks with the big trade, Atlanta United and the kind of status of Joseph Martinez and much more. We'll do that coming up in this hour. But let's catch you up to speed on what's going to happen, Hugh, with the Atlanta Falcons next Tuesday. Dan Quinn does say that now mandatory minicamp. Wee! Everybody's going to be there, including Deion Jones and Grady Jarrett and Julio Jones, the four guys that missed out on OTAs with the team. They're all going to be there. And, yes, Vic Beasley, all four are going to be in Flowery Branch for mandatory minicamp next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So that's some good news from that front. As for the Atlanta Falcons, as they get ready for their first preseason game, which is just around the corner here, it's June 7th, right? And August 1st is going to come quick. We welcome into the program, talk a little bit about the Falcons and some of the headlines in the NFL. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk, who's kind enough to join us on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Alper. His choice of colleges is debatable, but notstanding that, he's here to talk about professional football. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Very well.
So, Josh, why isn't the Atlanta Falcons, with all the moves they made in offseason, why aren't they getting the kind of love nationally, do you think?
Well, I think that everyone's waiting to see what this offensive line looks like first and foremost, because they made so many changes there, and you can't hit, as you know, in this time of the schedule. And until you can hit, until the pads are on, I know I did a post this week where Alex Mack was talking about Lindstrom and McGarry and how good they've looked and their attitudes and all these other new pieces. But until you're hitting and until you're seeing how, you know, you're going to impose your will there. And I think that's big. I think seeing Devonta Freeman on the field and seeing how he's moving is going to be really big. I think that, you know, finally getting the Grady Jarrett situation figured out and all those defensive players who were hurt last year, Keanu Neal and Deion Jones. And I just think everyone needs to kind of see this team in action before you buy that they're back to the team they were before all the injuries last year and before the line kind of broke down. And I think that's all, you know, right next to that is the fact the Saints were so close last year and that, you know, the Panthers have also been aggressive this offseason. The Buccaneers have new, it's just sort of been flashier stuff elsewhere. And the Falcons did what they needed to do. The offensive line was the key, but it just isn't the sort of thing that, you know, puts fireworks in the air.
No, I understand that. Josh Alper,
yeah,
Pro Football Talk.
I catch that.
Is certainly joining us here. Yeah, it is a fireworks in the air. But in a way, a manner of speaking, some of us who are Falcons fans, and I'll speak for myself, kind of look at it as you're adding Keanu Neal and Rico Allen, presuming that they're healthy, back into this team as kind of additions to this team because they didn't play. So, you know, missed so much of last year and almost the entire season. And so getting them back is an addition in and of itself. And if it works for the Atlanta Falcons, that'll be great. But the bigger news with the Falcons isn't necessarily player personnel. It's look at what they did in terms of their coaching staff. That was the big move here. When you have three new – you fire all your coordinators, Josh. Dan Quinn takes over the defense. You bring in Dirk Cutter to run the offense. Mike Mularkey. You have Raheem Morris. You have four or five ex-head coaches. I mean, this when in a year in time where everybody else is going to the Zach Taylors and, you know, the Sean McVays of the world, the Falcons went 180 degrees the other way.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that the Dirk Cutter move is one that is really big. I think that anything that you do that's going to make Matt Ryan more comfortable and make a dial back to a time where things were a little bit more successful than they were last year, it's obviously a step in the right direction for them to do that and to, you know, load up on things for this season. It does feel like a really big season for Quinn. And putting him in charge of the defense and putting his stamp all over the team is I think all of these things, as you said, the experience of the coaches and the level of expectation that comes along with that are very big things. But they're, I think it's good for the Falcons that they're able to do these things without everybody sort of battering down on them and saying, you know, what does this mean for Dan Quinn's future? What is this going to mean for 2020 and beyond? It's all about this year, and it's all about fixing the most obvious things that were wrong last year. You get those players back on defense, and you get that offensive line fixed. You still have Ryan, Julio, Calvin Ridley, and you have all the pieces in place to make it happen with a coaching staff that should be able to handle pretty much anything that comes along.
You know, with the national perspective, we're talking about that. Was it the right thing to keep give Vic Beasley the money that you gave him?
Look, you need the pass rushers, and you need the guys that can make that, you know, make the quarterbacks feel uncomfortable. And you have Grady Jarrett doing that on the interior of the line. You need the guys coming off the edge. It was a thing where I think that you're sort of, there's a hopefulness about what Vic Beasley is going to be able to do. And you think back a few years ago and what he did with the 15 and a half sacks and everything that he meant that year, and kind of hoping that comes back and that you find a way to get that back in, because they weren't going to be able to get that kind of player in free agency. And, you know, while the draft offered some of those kinds of players, I think that the offensive line was just a bigger need. And if you're going to find yourself in a spot with a guy who, you know, you've believed in the past, and you hope that Dan Quinn knows how to tap right back into those things and get that back out, I think that's the bet you're making there. And it's one that's going to have to pay off for the defense to be as good as they hope it can be. But I don't see what other route they were going to go.
Talking with Josh Alper, one of the key writers for Pro Football Talk. He's on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're talking about the Falcons as they get ready for mandatory minicamp and for the rest of the NFL. Josh, you're up in New York now, and so you can give us a perspective. We get caught. This is the Falcons flagship station. I've been a Falcons fan for 45 years. I get trapped in all my fandom. Everybody in Atlanta knows that. And as a result, I don't necessarily have that kind of point of view of the NFC South that maybe I should have from a national perspective. As you look at this division, I'm sure you think that the Saints are the team to beat, and that's fine. But the Swampers, we assume that they are. But how does this division fall in your estimation? With, you mentioned Sue in Tampa, Bruce Arians. You know, is Cam going to be healthy? Now you have, the addition of McCoy for Ron Rivera. How do you look at this division overall, and how do you think it's going to shake out?
Well, yeah, I think you're right. The Saints are the team. I think the team to beat. I think they have to be based on the last couple of years, and certainly last year. But after that, it's the big question marks everywhere. You have the offensive line in Atlanta, Cam Newton in Carolina. If his shoulder's not right, you can't jump on that train, and you can't really believe that they're going to be better than they were last year. And you know, for Tampa, I feel like it's a lot to ask for one off season, unless Bruce Arians turns Jameis Winston into something that he hasn't been in terms of a consistent, low mistakes, high reward quarterback that we just haven't seen to this point in his career. I'm not a buyer there. And I think that Atlanta, Carolina, I think that there's at least two playoff teams coming out of this division. I think the Saints are one, and that Atlanta, Carolina is going to be the other one. And look, I would lean towards Atlanta right now simply because I have more faith in the pieces that they have than I do in a constant, you know, with two of the last 3 years, shoulder surgery for Cam Newton. You start to feel like maybe there's something going on there in the style of play that he's going to play and everything else. But, they're two very talented teams. And if you wound up with that three NFC South teams in the playoffs again, that's not going to be surprising. When you look at the NFC, I think all three of those teams rank, towards the top half of the conference, and that's going to makes it very hard to make big predictions, because they're going to beat each other up in a way that teams aren't going to have to worry about in the NFC East or North.
I got something for you that might be in your wheelhouse a little bit, since you're up in New York. The Giants, I know you're probably a Giants fan. How do you think they're going to do this year now that Odell Beckham Jr. is gone?
I'm actually I grew up on the other side of that one, Hugh. And
Jets fan?
You know, I watched a certain someone make some sacks for the other team back in the day.
I'm impressed with that because it's not too many. Most people you talk to from New York, they're usually Giants fans, so I'm impressed
with
that.
Hey, you found one. Yay!
I think that the Giants, you know, I find it so hard to see exactly how all the Giants' moves add up for this year because everything they did said we're looking into the future, we're looking down the line, except for the fact that Eli is still there and that they've been so insistent that they think they can win now with Eli Manning on the as the quarterback. We'll see how that plays out, but I think that the getting rid of Odell Beckham, letting Landon Collins walk away, the trades they made last year with Eli Apple and Snacks Harrison, it Dave Gettleman has taken away everybody that the previous regime brought in. It happens in a lot of places when that happens. It just doesn't usually deal with players that are quite so high profile where you're taking away all the best players on the team and really leaving it with Saquon Barkley and a ton of question marks. I think the offense is going to actually be better, whether it's Manning or Daniel Jones. But that defense, I just don't see the high-end talent on the defense that they're going to be able to hang in for a full season here without being on unless they're winning shootouts every single week, which is tough to do. I think that it's going to be a long season for the Giants as they figure out what they need to do defensively to match up with an offense. Now you have Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, and you really clearly are – you have your foundation pieces to build on for the future. The defense still needs those.
Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 910 The Game.
First of all, Josh, I want to apologize for penciling you in as a Giants fan. So I have a Jets question for you. With Le'Veon Bell being the running back now, do you believe that story he told about those two women taking his jewelry? Like, do you believe they were his girlfriends or some women that he just met the night before?
Well, I mean, I think they if I had to say anything, I think it would be they were his girlfriends for a very short period of time and short-term relationship. I think that everything with Le'Veon Bell seems to come with a little extra layer of drama, a little extra layer of the stuff that makes coaches scratch their heads and wonder why. But then, you see him on the field and he can make it worthwhile to deal with all the other stuff. And for the Jets, I mean, it's been so long since they've had that kind of dynamic offensive player, and you have that with the hope of Sam Darnold, and you hope that, if those stories are coming out, and I mean, do I think that they were his girlfriends? No, probably not. That they they stole the stuff from him is a pretty good sign. They weren't feeling the same about him anyway.
Yeah, well, he just sat out the wrong event. That's all. Le'Veon sat out the wrong event. Josh Alper joining us from Pro Football Talk. On to another little NFL headline here. The commissioner this week said, hey, four preseason games, probably too many. No duh. It used to be six. The Falcons are playing five this year with the Hall of Fame game. Are we bound and determined in the new CBA to go to an 18-game season? Is that going to happen?
I think there's a real chance. I think there's a very real chance because I think it's for a league that's obsessed with growth under Roger Goodell and financial growth. There aren't so many avenues left other than that. I think the other one that could come up is expanding the playoffs. I would think that there is a deal to be made for an 18-game season in terms of a way to make it financially worth the while of the players to get that done. I know the union has taken a hard stance against it, and they should because it's a big give, and it's something that they should get a lot in return for, before that happens. And I just think that it's going to be something that the league really renews a really strong push for, and I would not be surprised at all. I don't think it's bound and determined, but I don't see it as being a unlikely outcome of whatever these talks, wherever these talks go, especially if the league wants to get it wrapped up quickly, that's a big thing to talk about, a big thing to sell going into the 100th season, that the CBA would be done and that you're making this big change to the way the NFL operates.
Yeah, because I agree, Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk. I'll just tell you what I see. I see 18-game regular season coming, 14-team playoff with only the number one seed getting a bye. We'll talk about reseeding. I don't know how that'll work, but maybe more of an NBA style. I see an expansion of rosters from 53 to 58, and I see talk of London really heating up after that, really heating up about expansion.
I think all of those things make, I think the expanded rosters is a must if you expand the season. And, yeah, the international, that goes right back to what I was saying about growth. That's where the growth possibilities for the league are. I think that the United States, if you're not an NFL fan, it's hard to imagine you're an adult who's not an NFL fan who decides to pick it up one day. But the rest of the world, there's a lot of people in a very different predicament.
Josh, do appreciate your insight. Thanks much.
You the man, Josh. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Josh Alper of Pro Football Talk, at Josh Alper on Twitter. Yeah, so this is Brave New World, Hugh. You know, get ready for it. I think that 18-game season's coming, the expansion of the playoffs, and more rosters, which would make Troy Vincent very happy. I mean, DeMaurice Smith.
DeMaurice Smith.
Very happy, because if you go from 53 to 58, you know, that's five players per team. That's 160 new dues-paying members of that union.
Yeah. I don't know how Le'Veon Bell let two girls stay in his house.
His girlfriend's
that
now.
Cool with, man. Yeah, man.
He's like Lou Williams.
Nah, he ain't like Lou. I ain't never heard no stories about women stealing jewelry from Lou. Lou must be putting it down way better than Le'Veon Bell for him, for his women not to be stealing from him like that.
All these big headlines, Braves, Hawks, Falcons, United, everybody making headlines this morning. There's stuff we missed. I know it. That's why we'll have Denitra come in, pour a little sweet tea on us next. We'll do the headlines, then we'll get Denitra into it. I jumped ahead of myself.
It's all right.
We'll get to all the big headlines next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio. It's Friday. On Sports Radio, 99 The Game and 99thegame.com versus CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Hit shot, score!
United are back in action.
As they kick off season three.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
High fly ball. That's Wallop straight away center field. That ball is in the bushes. A home run for Freddie Freeman.
The only offense last night for the Atlanta Braves. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. A solo blast by Freddie Freeman. The one run the Braves were able to scratch. They were 0-10 with runners in scoring position for a team that's been as hot as they have been swinging the bats. Last night wasn't one of them. Freddie's 16th home run of the season. So the Braves lose again. They lose, Hugh, the series to the Pittsburgh Pirates, and now drop to four wins in their last 10 games and two games back of the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, and that's a first series they've lost in a little bit of time. It's been a while since they've lost the actual series. So, yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate that you didn't get that one. But I guess the only saving grace now, you have Keuchel, and now you get ready to play the Marlins.
Yep, Marlins tonight. Mike Soroka on the hill against –
can gain some ground there.
Our old friend, Jose Urena.
Urena.
And this time, if you decide, if anything goes squirrely, hit that sun gun, okay? Hit him. Don't throw it behind him. Hit him. 100 games to go today. 100 games to go for the Atlanta Braves. And, yes, the big headlines, and there's lots of them this morning. We are going to go back over them as you head into work. Big headline number one, the Braves have agreed to a deal for the remainder of this season with Dallas Keuchel, who is scheduled, if the weather holds, to pitch tomorrow night. He's going to take a physical today. Tomorrow night in Gwinnett at home at Kauai Field. So, Dallas Keuchel, if you're in that area and you want to go see the bearded lefty, you can go see him tomorrow night. And hopefully that means he's about a week away from joining the Atlanta Braves. For the remainder of the year, this is going to create a couple of things. One, it's going to give you a veteran who's got serious playoff, World Series experience, who's won a Cy Young in the past, who's going to help solidify that rotation a little bit. Number two is it puts you in a spot of, what are you going to do with Kevin Gausman now?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the conversation you want to have, John, I mean, if I'm Kevin Gausman, I'm thinking that it's going to probably be I'm going to get another start before Keuchel comes up. So I want to go out there and I want to show them that I can be useful, if not in the starting rotation somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably where he's going to end up going, maybe going to the bullpen, if he can prove that he can do that. Because we've seen what's happened with Sean Newcomb when he's been in the bullpen. Looks like he's a pretty decent guy coming out of the bullpen. So maybe that's the case for Gausman.
And Newcomb's the third part of all of this, and that is that if Max Fried can get back to where he was a little bit earlier this year, it might resign Sean Newcomb to permanent status in the bullpen for the remainder of the year, because you don't want to put three lefties into the rotation. You got Fried and Keuchel, then you don't need a third, that's for sure. I mean, so we'll see how that all kind of plays out for the Atlanta Braves. But this is the first move. Now, I got to tell you, Hugh, I don't think it's the last move. I think they're going to be making another move here.
It's a fluid situation, John. And that's why, for me, when I just find it funny that for all the angst that everybody had yesterday about the moves that the Braves didn't make, my Twitter feed, for the most part, today has been real, real silent. And that's because they went out and made a move. This is something to me that in baseball, with, you just said, 100 games left, can't push the panic button. Still some moves to be made. Still some teams that are going to be out of it in a couple of weeks. And then that's when you really start to look at guys that you could probably put on this team that are going to help you make that push. I don't think that the Braves are looking at this and thinking that, you know, they're going to waste this season. I don't think that's the case, especially when you look at how close you are to the Phillies. Even though you're two games behind, you're real close to the Phillies and that lineup that they have. And the fact that the Phillies are going through a little bit of some issues right now. You know, they got some guys hurt. They got some guys that are dealing with some personal issues. So there's going to be some opportunities there. There's this situation with the pitching staff is still something that is fixable. It's enough time to fix all of this.
Well, you can jump into the conversation on our Twitter at 929TheGame, where we posted a poll this morning. Braves pick up Dallas Keuchel for the rest of the season, and you can vote in the poll. Great move, big help, or okay, but need more. Right now, 62% are saying great move, big help. 38% are saying it's okay, but they need more. And the conversation, of course, in the comments section, where we can kind of bandy this about a little bit. You can also comment on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Again, Braves and Marlins in Miami tonight with Mike Soroka on the mound against Urania this evening in Miami. All right, so that's one headline. Headline number two, big trade by the Atlanta Hawks yesterday, sending Taurean Prince to Brooklyn in exchange for Alan Crabb. Now, Crabb is going to come in here. He's going to be a bench guy. And for Brooklyn, they're dumping salary, and the Hawks are going to have to eat $18 million in an expiring contract for Alan Crabb. But that wasn't the big part of this. It isn't Crabb, and it isn't Prince. The big part of this is that 17th pick overall in the draft that Brooklyn had. Oh, no, it's now the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks have picks 8, 10, and 17 in round number one. They now have 6 draft picks, 8, 10, 17, 35, 41, and 44. So they get another first-round pick, you, and now you have 8, 10, and 17 in the draft, which means you can go crazy in the draft, or you can do what we expect that is going to happen, and that you're going to use two of those picks in some form or fashion to try to trade up.
Yeah, you're going to try to get up in the draft, try to move up into, I would think, probably 1-6 spot, maybe 1-6, maybe, something like that.
Right.
But we know for a fact that Travis is not going to keep all these draft picks. He even said so much as that when we talked to him a couple days ago, is that they're not going to keep all these draft picks. So they're going to try to move and get in the best possible position for them and get some guys here, and they're acquiring assets because they got the Brooklyn Nets pick, the first round pick for next year. So they're trying to acquire assets. They're trying to make this team better, and they're trying to do it the old-fashioned way, and that's build through the draft.
Well, if you have 8, 10, and 17, you know, people have already started to float different scenarios because it's just normal what we do. And our producer, Abe, and you and I were talking before the show, and the first thing we came up with, could you get 8 and 17 and send it to Cleveland for 5, for example? The Hawks got a little shorted in that they got 8, you know, in the lottery, and not maybe a 5 or a 6 in the lottery. And so because of that, if Travis Schlenk is thinking of moving up, he said, and you're right, he said, I'm not taking 5 rookies. I'm going to package some of these picks. I'm going to move around. He may package all 3 of the second round picks to try and move back into the first round, and then package that together to try to do something too. So he's going to move up. The question is, where is he going to move up to, and what's it going to cost him? But I think in all of that, he wants to keep you that number 10 pick, because he'd like to have, even if he moves up using 8, 17, and other things, he wants to have 2 top 10 picks.
Yeah, I think that's the case, and that's what it looks like. I know that when you think about number 8 being that close to 10, basically that's not really that – I don't think it's that much disparity between the two players. So if you could possibly move up a little bit higher and put yourself in a position to get somebody that could possibly be a difference maker for you.
Right, and is that to the Knicks to number 3? Is it you know, Cleveland at 5, or you're looking at R.J. Barrett, or you're looking at DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver. There's something in the works here. He's got his eye on somebody a little higher in the draft. And again, wouldn't it be nice to know what his big board is? It'd be fascinating to know. He can't talk about it. It'd get him in a lot of trouble. Not even off the record, he's not going to talk about it because he doesn't want it to get out. Not that he wouldn't trust us, but you know what I'm saying? He wants to be careful about what he is looking at. But there's somebody on this draft board, Hugh. This is why he made this deal yesterday. There's somebody he wants, and he's targeting
obviously,
one player.
Obviously, or it's trying to move up. He's trying to make some moves, John. He's trying to put the best roster he can put together this year and put himself in position with these key assets to, you know, build a contender sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see.
Yeah.
And that's the conversation. When we have conversations with Travis Slink, that's kind of what I hear, is that, you know, you're being patient with this, but at the same time, you're trying to put yourself in the best possible position that you can be in
mm-hmm.
in a short period of time.
Yeah, so, and it may be something as, you know, it's just a little complicated, but follow me. Let's say that there was something to the rumors about the Knicks and the number 3 pick, and they want 8 and 10, and Travis was like, I'm okay with that, but I still want to have another first-round pick. Well, there's number 17. And there's no guarantee he couldn't package those 3 in the second round and 17 together and move up to, like, 15. So, I mean, he could have more than one chess move ahead here if he's looking at the draft in 13 days. So
all of these are possible.
Yeah, all of these are a possibility. And I just think it's fascinating. If you're a Hawks fan, you ought to be very excited about what's going to happen in a week from next Thursday in the NBA draft. And stand by for more news, because this Hawks team, they are a freight train running. I think the future for the Hawks is extremely bright. And you should be very excited if you're a Hawks fan. And I haven't talked about next year what my expectations are, because I want to see what happens in the draft and free agency, but I'm expecting they're going to be pretty good next year. I'm just telling you. I know. There's news about Atlanta United as they get ready to play the U.S. Open Cup, and it's about Joseph Martinez. Venezuela has picked him up on the national team, not a surprise. And depending on how far Venezuela goes in this competition of Copa America, we need to stand by for the possibility that Joseph could be gone from the team for a few games.
Gone for a while.
So.
And it's at a time where everybody looked like they started to come together, and him and Pitty had some magic a couple of matches ago. So, yeah, it's just unfortunate that, you know, that's the case for him. But it's great. It's great for Atlanta United as a whole, and it's great for the city. But we want everybody to get together and start playing better, even though they're not in a bad position now. But we just want that, you know, continuity.
I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks. I'm sort of surprised Venezuela can even afford a team. That country is in disarray. Is a kind way to put it. All right, now we get to some of the things we missed in all these big headlines. Sweet Tea going to pour the tea next. We'll get to Nidra to fill us in on a couple of stories I'm sure we missed. We'll do that as we continue on this Friday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.